Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think that some of the dangers are overstated, but if there's any danger in these games, it seems to me it's that it's such a loner sort of activity.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Ben Vanel here. Hello, Tommy, and hello, listeners. Shall we proceed with the podcast? Wait a minute! I forgot our third co-host!
Yeah, with me, as always, Adam Knox here. I got meat if you want some, boys.
Yeah?
You've got sausages?
Yeah, because it just sounded like me, and I couldn't think of something to say. You said with me, as always... I was like, what if there was a crazy world where a guy always had meat, which I guess every human being does.
That's true.
Yeah.
I got an emergency supply of meat right here. I'm walking on it, sitting on it, talking with it, not using it to think. That's for damn sure.
Is the brain meat?
The brain is a muscle, I think.
It's an organ.
It works like a muscle, though.
I
saw some scientist guy...
The brain does not tense up like a muscle.
I saw a guy talking about how much more similar the brain is to a muscle than we tend to think of it as.
And did you see this on either YouTube or TikTok?
No, I saw it on a science conference I went to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I believe it then.
The guy was like, he looked so much like a scientist. And he was, I think his only point was like, if you don't use it, you lose it. Same as
parking space. You've got to make the neural pathways.
Sure. Now it's, of course.
Well,
Two seconds ago it was, you don't have a brain.
Yeah, I know.
This is why I carry this meat around. Try and keep people at a distance because they always betray you.
The more you use your neural pathways, the better they are.
Yeah.
And the less you use them, the shitter they are.
The worse they are.
The worse they be.
Any pathway.
I think I'm still rebuilding after months and months of lockdown.
Mine's never not coming back. I've just accepted
it.
Yeah,
I really feel that way lately. Not a lot going on up there for a little while. And boy, it is hard to get it firing again.
Wow. Well, long COVID. That's real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys both got COVID.
I've got fucking long ass coat. I've got like a, you know those limos where it's like, I'm a limo, but I'm fucking a hell of
I'm making a double limo.
Yeah,
a point of it.
Yeah.
Those real asshole limos.
Yes.
I don't even get what they are because I've got long COVID. I see the start of then I'm like, yeah, car. And
I'm
then
exhausted.
I see the back and I'm like, a different car.
Oh, okay.
Just two cars went
like
past.
Like a dog. Yeah. No object permanence, even if it's attached.
It's not a limo. It's two small cars trying to sneak into the limo cinema.
Yeah.
Pretending that they're one big car.
Yeah.
We have our live show this Saturday
afternoon.
You can hear pumped and primed and ready to go.
Yep. That's why we're a bit frazzled at the start of this. We just had a big production meeting for the live show.
Can we do something involving all this meat I've got?
we'll be focusing on the craft services of the production meeting. Yeah.
Bunnings the video game. We're just going to be frying sausages up there for the people.
Don't burn these good ideas.
Yeah, true. Good
they
point.
Got Bunnings Lego now. And it's pretty cool.
Really?
Like they sell it in Bunnings and it's of little Bunningses.
I'm going to go get it.
It's pretty cool. It's like 10 bucks too.
It's just down the road there's a Bunnings.
I got a key cut there the other day and I saw it.
Yeah. You went to Bunnings to get a key cut?
Yeah. They chopped it in half. Useless now.
Well, you didn't want it anymore.
It was my old keys.
Yeah.
Real estate's mad.
I might get... I've been making some Lego. I don't know if that falls under the gaming...
You know what? I reckon.
Yeah?
I reckon it does.
I got a Lego
It's hard to imagine a gaming fan listening to this and Lego coming up and being like, I don't want to fucking hear about this.
And I don't know how many people there'd be like, I love Lego, hate video games.
True.
Mm.
It's definitely some.
Yeah,
you know, you can find all sorts. You can find a person who likes Lego and doesn't like video games, or a person who walks around with fresh cuts of meat in their pockets at all times. You can find anyone you
really
want.
Really, really committing to this bit.
It's one of those ones where, like one of those big limos, you've got to make it about the length that the bit goes for, or else it's just a shit car.
Yeah.
I mean, a man who walks around with fresh cuts of meat in his pockets likes Lego and video games.
That's a guy. He's sitting right in front of you.
Yeah.
He's got feelings and a brain.
So I got the Seinfeld one about a month ago, this full Seinfeld set. Loved it. Took a while, but didn't take long enough. It's like when you get a 500-piece puzzle and you're like, I've still got more hours to kill in the day.
Right.
Sure.
So I went and got a Technic Jeep.
Right.
And it's taken ages so far. It's taken two. You know, like they'll have the bags or, you know, like the... This is separated into just one and two.
Okay.
And then one has a bunch of small bags in it. And one has taken 2 days.
Okay.
Wow.
So I'm working up to two. Which I'll start two today.
4 days, you'd imagine. It's double.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how maths works.
I think so. It's two like is twice one.
Exponential multiplier. But I'll have a fucking...
That's the sound it makes. I did a gesture that was like numbers taken off, and that was numbers taken off.
At the end, I'll have a Jeep, and it'll have one of those little things where you can turn the front wheels.
You know,
and it'll drive around.
Sick.
Put George in the Jeep. Tell him it was John Voight's old Jeep.
Oh, I didn't even think about combining them.
Put them in together.
Fuck.
That's put Elaine's head on top of Jerry's head, and you can be like, it's a weird double.
It's a weird fantasy of mine.
That's the true difference between adult brain and child brain. Not thinking about combining the toys to create the ultimate crossover.
I guess we
don't have to think in those terms now, because that's just how, like back in the day when we were kids, like the MCU was just like, getting your Barbie doll and putting it in the fucking...
Right,
you know,
covering
it in GAC. It's like, the ultimate crossover. And now it's like, that just gets served up for us. We don't have to imagine, like, what if these things interacted?
Yeah.
Because they just deliver it to us anyway.
Genuinely, the way I used to do it was, I never realized that it was like an MCU thing. But it would be like Optimus Prime does some shit, and then it's like Action Man showing up to I'm here to talk to you about the Lego initiative.
Yeah, yeah. And then like a plush platypus. I guess Ken doll, you can ride the platypus.
Yeah, and the platypus is evil for some reason.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So what's kids' fantasies now? Probably just like
bigger iPad.
No, they just stay in their lane. It's just it's only Batman. Yeah. There's no other fucking shit coming
Batman
in.
Batman doesn't even know that Aquaman exists. He has no idea and thinks the concept is stupid.
Putting all the other shit in a complete other rooms, completely removed from the little universe that they're playing in.
Yeah. I don't think kids have imaginations anymore.
Oh,
it's gone. You've got to work that brain, because it is similar to a muscle.
And you can flex. Come flex your muscles. Use some of your muscles to click.
Yes.
Buy tickets. Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Comedy Republic. We are going to be there doing a live show.
Yes.
You can also buy a streaming ticket to watch online anywhere in the world. It's cheaper. The link will be active for 24 hours, so you don't have to watch it as it's happening, but if you want to, we'd certainly encourage that if that works out for you time zone wise. comedyrepublic.com.au.
Yeah.
This Saturday. Last time we'll be talking to you before we do the show.
Worth saying as well, if you're a patron, there's a little discount code on Patreon too.
Check your patron. Check it.
Yeah.
Go have a look. Check your emails. I'm sure it went out as an email, and check the patron posts.
Yeah. Check your patron posts before you wreck your patron posts by having too many of them because there's too much shit happening in giant July.
There's so much shit happening.
If you go to patreon.com/filthycasualspod, that's where you can go and support the podcast that we are doing right now. It really fucking means a lot to us, and we're trying to put out some bonus stuff during July to be, you know, thankful to the people who are doing it. Changing the tiers up a little bit, where like you're getting more stuff on that main sort of 10 tier.
That'll be it. Like the $10 tier, $10 Australian, we should say. So like, I don't know.
I think it's the 10 Australian. Is that right?
Oh, maybe it's 10 US.
I think it might be 10 US.
Okay.
You
get... that's the top one. That'll be the top one.
That's the money melon.
We're one of the early ones that got on Patreon before they offered the option of having tiers in other currencies. I believe.
So that
we
is
were
true.
Stuck to USD.
That is true.
And we could change it, but that would kind of fuck up the finances of everyone who already subscribes.
I think it's 10 US, and we try to put as much in there to make it worth it as possible, and it massively, massively, massively changes our lives. Literally.
Yes, yeah,
so
it
we
does.
Thank you so
hey,
much.
You know what? Even if you're not interested in any of the other content, you just get this for free, and you like the fellas, and you want to make their lives a little bit better.
Right.
Just get on there and support it anyway.
Yes.
You don't have to engage with it. Patreon started as, hey, just chip in. You get this thing for free.
Yeah.
Just chip in. And then it all allows, of a sudden it's yeah. become, no, you are paying for fucking 8 hours of extra content a week.
Yes.
The way that Patreon's weird updates that they send you sometimes if you're on it as like a creator,
yep.
it seems as though maybe the reason they changed their talking about it is because at some point they were like, kind of the tax office came after it.
I think so. But yeah, as you say, like
if donations mean a pretty specific thing.
It's not charity if it's for a product. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not a religion. So
but yeah,
you gotta...
when you're a patron of someone, it used to just mean you'd like support them financially to make art, which
yeah.
is, yeah.
What crazy.
What we're trying to do here. But yeah, I think if you sign up for Patreon either like right now, I guess, or within July, we'll put up a post in there saying the extra stuff we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we'll say when it's going to be, because there'll be some stuff that we'll do with a live, you
component,
know, live
streaming
component.
Through feeds. Patreon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
a
either
live feed.
You'll be able to attend or probably, yeah, see it after the fact.
You'll know
if you're a patron.
Yeah. And then you get all our back catalogue of stuff there too. So go have a look if you feel like it.
Yeah.
But
arguably better than our current stuff.
I tell you what.
Yes.
If you don't want to be a patron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yep.
Instead.
Yes.
You could just listen to this podcast.
Oh,
you'd
God.
Like to watch.
Yep.
A Nintendo Direct.
Okay, so the options are get on Patreon or watch the Nintendo
well,
Direct.
Well, because I'm thinking like if you're looking for more content, you've clearly got a little bit of time on your hands that you want to use up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And a great way to waste some time would yep. be to watch a Nintendo Direct.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So we had one during the week. It was a, there was a long rumored one that was going to be on the 29th. It was a partner Direct mm-hmm. mini. Mm-hmm. So focusing on third party stuff. And I will say these ones that aren't like the main big boys, they're always on at a bit more of a convenient time, a little 11 p.m. Australian
yes.
time.
And they just chuck them on as a YouTube video rather than streaming it.
That's
which
true.
Is
I was looking for the
ones.
Live thing. I was like,
the way Nintendo markets their shit of like, it's a partner direct mini rather than going like, yeah, it's a bad one.
Right.
Yeah, this is, we've got a bad Nintendo Direct coming up. They go, yeah. no.
But then
this is a specific group of it.
You know that game you've already been hearing about for a month and a half and it's exclusively bad things? Well, here's a new look at Sonic Frontiers.
Yeah.
But then they treat it as if it is worse by just putting it up as a VOD, not a live stream. So,
right. There was some okay stuff in there, to be fair.
I did watch this immediately as it aired because I was waiting for it to start live streaming and
I actually enjoyed it.
I
couldn't fucking find the link. I thought it was going insane.
It wasn't up until about 11:05.
It took a couple minutes. Yeah.
And it was up, like in their videos. It wasn't even on the front page.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And then you couldn't bloody find it on Pornhub.
Oh, my God.
That's where you were looking.
I'd had to close that down. I was, I was assuming it was like a live stream thing and it got to like 5 past and I'm like, I'm going on all the socials and I can't find it anywhere. And then I'm like, oh, I guess it's tomorrow. And then I'm like checking the time of the tweet and it's like, I'm like, no, it's 28th. It's 11 p.m. And I'm like, there was like 4 minutes there where I was like, what is going on?
It's the long COVID.
Am I going insane?
Yeah.
Like, why can't I find this link? Me of all people.
Yeah. I'm surprised that your reaction was to check a calendar on Twitter before just like muscle memory typing Nintendo into YouTube.
I had Nintendo Direct in YouTube. It wasn't coming up.
There was a bunch of like people streaming it.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to watch that. Where's the fuck? And then I just clicked videos and it was uploaded as a video.
What they showed was...
No, let's keep talking about the logistics.
A lot of stuff that is just like re-releases of games, which often mm-hmm. happens in Nintendo Direct. So we won't go too much into that.
Well, and also in very classic Ubisoft fashion, what probably would have been... the biggest announcement and slash closest thing to a kind of like first party thing that people who are into Nintendo would be interested about leaked on the Ubisoft page by them accidentally putting pre-order stuff up like 24 hours before.
That's very just like the opposite types of problem with the people uploading Nintendo's videos and Ubisoft stuff. They just can't do it at a certain time.
I feel like this happened with the previous one as well. It's definitely happened before.
Because Miyamoto was going to announce it, but it all got leaked at that Ubisoft press conference.
Yes.
And that because someone I think was like, Miyamoto's backstage and he's holding a Rayman
or whatever.
He's holding a little rabbit.
Something about this series, everything about it, even from conceptually the very beginning, has just leaked. I remember because it's just like, the information just gets out there, escapes. I remember when the Nintendo 64 was first being released and the release of it got delayed here. And then, you know, it was out in the States in like September the year before and then it wasn't coming out here until March. And I remember reading in one of the Nintendo magazines, someone had written in and been like, why has it even got to be released here? Why can't it just escape? Just like, why run this letter? It's just like, this is some crackpot. This like doesn't make sense. And then they're just like, they're just going into like the logistics of this, like in their in the editor's like reply to this letter. It's like,
I just watched Jurassic Park and in the opening scene, it is very clear that dinosaurs, even when caged, can escape. Later on in the film, this theory is repeated and confirmed.
It's an object, buddy. It's not an animal.
And since this is a Nintendo magazine in the 90s, I've included a video, a drawing of Mario pissing on Sonic. Some other magazines will have Sonic pissing on Mario.
Yes.
I'll take my answer off the air. Kind regards.
We're going to answer it legitimately.
I would love to do a video where we go through the letters pages of old gaming magazines.
Yeah.
And we rank and review all the gory drawings of Mario pulling out Sonic's spinal cord and shit like that.
I think I've got one in one of them.
Really?
Okay.
I won't tell you what. In case I'm able to dig it up.
If you can dig it up, maybe bring it to the live show.
Yeah.
Bring a printout or a screen grab.
I remember I was writing under the name Unabomber at the time.
Okay. Maybe don't dig it up then, actually, on second thoughts.
It's weird that they published it. It was in a badass basement in 64 Bases. So, I'll just go through it already.
The Unabomber's manifesto, and then the last page is just a pencil drawing of Crash Bandicoot having sex with Lara Croft.
When will they release Earthbound 3? All right, bye.
He came up with the idea for Bomberman, the game. Oh, it was in a letter to Nintendo magazine.
Okay, well, Bomberman R2
is
one of the announcements a little further in, the sequel to Super Bomberman R.
Yeah.
So Super Bomberman R2.
That was a launch game for the Switch show.
It was.
One of the only reasons that it got any look in at the time as well, I think. It was very, like Snipper Clips and those sort of ones. Like it really benefited from being one of a handful around then because it is not very good.
And I did not buy it or play it. I think I played Breath of the Wild for several months and then probably bought Mario Kart. But I do like the Bomberman games and I probably will get this.
I have Super Bomberman R, and I went into it thinking that, because they made one on the 64, I think, that had like a kind of a little single player mode.
Right.
That was like little levels that you were going through that were really cool. And I kind of thought this was going to be that, and it's not. It's like the single player mode is just like the little versions of like the maps that you would do in multiplayer.
Right.
They're just little kind of mini battles. But
right.
I fucking love them to make one of these that's got that kind of cool single player 3D platformery kind of mode to it.
I don't think that's going to be what this is. This looks like...
No. Just doubling down on the multiplayer aspect and online of it.
With like a tower defense mode and some stuff like that.
Right.
But I've never loved the Bomberman.
And they did
personally.
Support that last one quite a bit. They kept adding stuff to it for many years after it came out.
Well, speaking of adding stuff, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak got a big long trailer at the start, which is out now, I think, and we'll probably play that.
Yeah.
There's a demo for sure. Mm-hmm. That's out now.
I played a bit of that demo, actually.
Oh, right.
It is Monster Hunter.
Yep.
So, but like it seems as though I never got to the end of Rise. I never polished it off.
No, I never played much of it. It was too similar to World, which I did play, 100 hours of. Like, really, really loved that.
Well, this is definitely more of Rise, which was more of World in a way. So,
I got to the end of the story missions in Rise, loved it. And then this DLC, you've got to be up to a certain rank in the hub quests because there's like two separate areas and I just had put no time into the hub quest at all. So I'm going to have to go back and grind my little fanny off to earn the right to pay for this content, to play this content that I've paid money for.
Yeah. To pay quite a lot for it too. It's an expensive...
Yeah, yeah, it's like a full... But there's heaps in it. It's like a... It is. Right. Yeah, and it's all, like a sequel almost.
As the Monster Hunter games have done too, it is stuff exactly for what you're saying after you've played the entire game.
And they'll be supporting it. They've put out like a little roadmap of all the stuff that they're going to add to it. Yeah.
Nier Automata is coming to the Switch. That game's 5 years old, but it's very good if you've never played it. October 6th.
I would not recommend playing it on the Switch if you have the option, but I guess if you don't, it's there for you now.
Probably not, but I, you know, if playing in handheld mode might be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of pointless. I really like the look of Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. It's by the people who
Which one was this? I'm going to look this up.
It's the one that looks sort of... Right? No, it's like a puzzle game, like a puzzle adventure by the people who did Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Okay.
And it has a really, really cool look to it. Like a sort of wireframey, like low quality PS1 kind of polygons look. And it's like... A puzzle adventure game is how they said it.
Oh,
they
this does look cool.
Information about it.
Yeah. This does look really cool.
Just visually great, and the fact that it's because the Sayonara Wild Hearts people doing it, I loved how that game looked. I just didn't really enjoy playing Sayonara Wild Hearts or the music, unfortunately, which is the thrust of that game.
Yep.
Literally the driving
momentum.
So them having a go at a puzzle game, I think, might really click with me a lot more than
because
they're clearly talented, and this looks like a really interesting game. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. I reckon have a look at that.
Nice.
Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection is all of the Game Boy Advance Battle Network games. I think they were all on Game Boy
of
Advance,
which there are 10.
There's a ton of I think they do the Pokemon thing where they've got like a red and a blue version for a lot of them.
Okay.
So that pumps up the numbers.
Sure. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people very excited about this. This series has a lot of rabid fans who are pretty pumped to play them again.
Completely missed it forever. I know nothing about these games really. I think they're like RPGs but starring Mega Man characters.
Okay.
I think. But you know what? I found this cool website called Wikipedia. You can find out tons of shit about almost anything.
Just for free?
Well,
they don't hassle you for money? They don't guilt you?
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Hey, while you're here looking up the plot of Good Burger, you know, this doesn't just happen. This website doesn't just happen for free. How about, you know...
Isn't it just updated by volunteers?
I would love to know what the plot of Good Burger is. I never saw Good Burger.
I'll look it up right now. You're right. Save it for the live show.
Pac-Man World Repack is a remake of a PS1 game called Pac-Man World.
Yeah, I had that on PS1, I believe.
This looks cool. I didn't even know this existed. Yeah. I looked it up and it got people were into it at the time.
Yeah,
it got good reviews and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if I loved it, but I got it because I think, at the time it was meant to be good.
Oh, Repack. Okay.
It's so funny though, just like this, you know, one of the early video games that has just basically nothing going on story or lore-wise. Like the design of them exists because of just like that's what they could do on the screen.
Yeah.
And then having to just be shackled to that forever. It's like, oh, Pac-Man's friends have been kidnapped and taken to Ghost World. It's like, wow, there's really not a lot going on here. Totally.
Here's the crazy new character, Ms. Pong Paddle. It's the great Blank or Blonk.
Oh, this looks great. This looked good to me.
Nice art style with a like sort of hand-sketched looking thing where a deer and a little fox or wolf cub are traveling through a snowy wilderness.
Again, a vaguely probably puzzle platformer kind of thing.
I think kind of Journey-ish because it was saying it had co-op online or in person and there's two characters there. So my impression is that it might be doing a similar thing to that where people can kind of drop in and out.
Right. Yep.
I don't know that. I'm just saying it out of my ass. Jim Carrey style.
But, fuck yeah.
It's very pretty
flexible.
Funny.
He's gotten very flexible.
Yeah. Yeah, so that looked great. Cool art style, hand-drawn, really, really pretty looking.
Yep.
And then right after that, they showed some gameplay of Return to Monkey Island, which has one of the worst art styles I've ever seen any form of media use, and I really dislike it.
Wow. I don't hate it, but I don't like it.
I don't know why I added, and I really dislike it.
One of the worst art styles I've ever seen in my life, but it's working for me.
But you know what? I've got bad taste, so I like it.
I wasn't a fan. We talked about doing a band camp on point and clicks recently. So I had been, you know, looking through some old point and click adventure games.
Yeah.
And remembered or was reminding myself how much I loved those original Monkey Islands that were, you know, 8-bit, 256 color DOS PC games. And this does not look like that. This looks...
No. I don't mind it.
It doesn't look like any of what they did with Monkey Island after that either,
right,
where they had this, like, Curse of Monkey Island, the third one, has this hand-drawn picture book look that is really, really good. It works. Right. And then 4 and 5 kind of did a simple polygonal thing.
Yeah,
You know, the Telltale one is 5. This is doing, like, this extremely corporate training ad-looking version of, like, kind of... Not South Park as in simple, but
cut out,
cobbled together paper and mache.
Yeah.
Oh, not mache.
I don't mind it. It definitely doesn't look as cool and vibey as those like old graphics, but I do like it more than the like remastered version of the graphics of one that I've been playing. It's, to me, it's got a little bit more personality to it than just that like scaled up sort of like halfway between realistic, but
yes.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it's going for something a little bit. Yeah, I can. Definitely it's not to everyone's taste, but I think it's going for something a little bit more than just that like upscaled thing that they did with the
right.
Totally.
I really want to play this game, so I hope that I sink into it and end up liking it. I think it's just this type of face means that I don't get personality from it.
Right. And also this, I mean, I don't, I've only just started playing one very recently, so I don't have the attachment to the series, but it does drive me wild when there's no artistic consistency across a series to just all of a sudden go, oh, this is what this looks like now. It's like, why? Like, that's something that always really bothers
that
me.
That is with not stuff. The voodoo Vince I grew up with. the original voice actor for Guybrush Threepwood is back, though, so that was cool. Cool to hear him again.
And I think if it sounds like it's going to be good, if it gets good reviews, I guess, I'll play it, but it's not drawing me in with that art style,
it,
for sure.
It's really... unfortunate that it looks the way it does. I just think it's a big misstep with that. Speaking of stepping, you can step freely in Mario and Rabbids. Sequel subtitle, Sparks of Hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looks great. I saw people complaining about the fact that you can run around freely in your turn instead of it being a grid system, which I think is weird because it just seems like, oh yeah, that is the same and is maybe a little more Mario-y.
Yeah. Exactly.
I loved that tactical element of it, of like having to plot out like your steps and having your limited movement, to me was like such a fun part of it. But I'm assuming if they're changing it up, like they know what they're doing, you know, I'm assuming it's for the best.
And they in that first game, it wasn't like too long, but they kind of did that formula in the way that they'd done it with Mario and Rabbids to the extent that they could.
Had that DLC. Totally.
And like a million games like XCOM exist. Not a million, there's like maybe 10.
Sure.
But that XCOM grid thing has been done a lot, and
just
trying to find a way to do it a little bit differently.
So fun. What is it, literally unlimited movement, or is it just not grid? Like, is there,
I think, the same as in the original, honestly, where you could move a certain, within a certain sphere, or I guess the opposite of a sphere, which is just a flat circle.
A circle.
Not the opposite, but like a cousin.
A flat square.
kind of like that, but round off the edges.
A circumference.
Whatever the area is that you can move in. You can move in there however much you want during your turn.
Yeah, certain characters have more
radius.
Like, can get further.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yes.
And then you get like one attack and a dash.
Yeah.
During your thing. So I don't think it'll take away the tactical part of it. And I loved that first game.
Yeah, me too. I think the biggest difference is, in the first one you were kind of, it was like a little grid and you were like moving a little cursor around to select the block of that grid where you wanted the character to move. And with this, it's just like instead of moving that cursor, you're just moving the character.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Which is cool. It makes you feel that thing of controlling a character versus like clicking to where you want them to go. It just does add to that immersion. It makes you feel like you're a lot more in it.
Especially when it's a Mario game.
Yeah.
Or a game starring Mario. You know, that makes a lot of sense.
I think of it as a Rabbid game, personally.
Hey, the Rabbid series is long, and talking about Bandcamp.
We should do one on the Rabbids.
Oh, yeah. This is out October 20.
Yes.
I believe.
Okay. Which is great. Yep. The Switch has some good games coming for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and they've talked about...
they didn't show any of them in there.
There's going to be, yeah, like the first one, DLC, adding stuff to it over time. So, yeah.
Comes out October 20, gives you time to make your Halloween costume inspired by the game.
Sexy rabbit princess Rosalina.
Yeah.
And Bowser's in it. He's got big fuck-off bazooka. I'm excited to see what other characters are showing up as little... Yeah.
So apparently that Marvel Midnight Suns game is doing a similar thing with the movement. It's an XCOM thing. I thought it was something different, but it is an XCOM style game and they're doing the movement thing.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know why people bother by it, but whatever.
I guess it is different to the formula. The formula is more like a tactical strategy game.
Yeah.
And when people, I guess, like that, they like that to be... I don't know. It's more of a multitasking game almost.
People think it's going to be too easy because you can just, if they're assuming that part of the strategy was, just having your limited grids that you could click on.
Yeah.
And now you can just, I think people think you're just going to be able to fucking run from, as much as you want,
you're right. I suppose I'm just thinking of it as a control system rather than a change in how it's playing.
I think that's really all it is. But
it's similar to the Bethesda Sky Space Rim. Starfield.
Space Rim.
Yeah. The not being able to smoothly go from space to planet.
Oh, yeah.
Is like, well, that's not actually a change in how things function necessarily, but I do get that it's aesthetically a different thing that can make you go, this isn't really what I'm looking for.
Sure.
Yep.
Speaking of not really what you're looking for, Sonic Frontiers got some more, like you said, gameplay footage shown. Looked a little shitty.
Looked a little shitty and also, but they showed off something that I don't think they'd shown before.
Yes.
This
the challenge thing?
Yeah, the Mario Odyssey-esque little kind of zones that you go into that are more like
Mario Sunshine. Remember those when you lose your jetpack?
Yeah, self-contained little levels that are within the... open world, or I guess almost like they're not puzzles, but almost like the shrines in Breath of the Wild, like a little thing that exists as a little separate self-contained challenge. And these look like they could be okay.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're not leaning into this bit of it more, like why they're just burying this in a partner direct.
It would be sick if this game ended up good.
Yeah.
That would honestly, it would be surprising at this point just because it has just a vibe about it where it doesn't look like it'll work. But
everyone who's played it is like pretty off it. Like usually you find at least a handful of apologists who are like, no, let's give it. But even like
a few shills, happy to get the free copies.
And the developers being like, you just don't understand it.
Yes. Yeah,
there are actually a ton of people in our office who like it.
It's an open zone, not an open world.
That type of defensiveness. I will only accept that weird genre bullshit from Hideo Kojima. And I'll accept a love from him that I won't accept from other people.
Yeah.
It's a problem with me as much as with him. But
the Strand type game turned out to be a great genre, though.
It's
so
really good.
Maybe
Sonic Frontiers will
could be.
Open
I mean,
up
yeah,
the,
I do love that. Like this, it's sort of like this precedent that's been set, where now people are like, "Hey, it doesn't play very well. Probably just needs a bit more time in the oven."
Mm.
And I bet there's someone in it secret just like, "I told you we shouldn't have changed the fucking movie. Yeah. These people think these people think they run the company now. They can just." Tell us that it looks bad and that we got to fucking redo it.
If Sonic was ugly, we'd be fine.
Yeah.
I do think those challenge levels looked great, though. Like, they looked more like what I imagined a 3D Sonic would be, having never played a 3D Sonic game.
Sonic Adventure and stuff like that was kind of that. It was linear levels where you were... But there was never really any challenge. It was like sort of roller coasters and then different characters to do the challengey ones.
Right.
And all of those characters felt like fucking shit. Tails, you son of a bitch. Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Stardew Valley, did you say?
I think so. It looked as though it was an Animal Crossing type of Disney game. And honestly, Animal Crossing where Wally is your neighbor? All right.
Yeah.
I thought this kind of looked pretty cool.
What
especially
up, Stitch?
If you had little kids.
I thought it looked cool too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I skipped through it. Right. I didn't think it looked cool at all. I think it looked lame.
Wow.
I think you guys are lame.
Oh, wow. This cool guy rode here on his Razor scooter.
Oh, I'm so scared. He's making me feel like a baby.
His cap's on backwards.
Merlin from the Sword in the Stone, come help me. My favorite character.
I don't know. I could see. I've seen a couple of people be like, "Oh, it's going to be awesome to play with my kids." You know,
absolutely.
As a first video game, yeah,
sure,
it's kind of neat.
Yeah, with my kids.
I liked that there was a bit where someone's walking through and there's like Mickey and Goofy there, and then there's like a tiny, tiny little Buzz Lightyear walking around, which I was like, "What the?" And I was like,
"Cool.
Oh yeah, he's a toy."
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. Ratatouille shows up.
That's, yes.
What's his name? Remy.
Remy.
Remy's cooking. Man, I don't know. I reckon this might be great.
Okay.
I've got a feeling that this could just
Animal
be
Crossing
like...
I mean, Animal Crossing
was great. Exactly.
Yeah, I guess. It's the Ratatouille, like, 15-year anniversary, like, yesterday or the day before.
Holy shit. This is what Ratatouille looks like. Yeah. What did you eat? Go on. Think of a dish that's not Ratatouille.
Or rat.
Rat feces.
Oh, okay.
Well, what would you have done, Jesus?
Punani.
I'm saving that for LEG Day that's coming up next week.
The 30th of Booyaka
Show. Oh, yeah.
Live Alive, I think is how you pronounce it. That sort of 2.5D remake of a SNES game, I think.
Yeah, Square game, right?
It's coming
out
next
now.
Month.
I'm pumped for this.
Sure.
This sounds cool. And a lot of people who played it back in the day have very positive things to say about it.
Okay.
And
it was
like
one of those
PDHD
ones I think that was like a Japanese... game that never got officially translated.
Yes,
right. And then,
yep.
But there were internet translations available for a long time.
Yeah,
it's got like Bahamut Lagoon. It's got one of those weird, like probably overinflated points of view that some people have on it, where because it seems like this oddity, you go like, oh wow, it's a special thing.
Yep.
But
it does seem cool. A little RPG that's set in all these different time periods, and they've all got different kind of battle mechanics. Yeah, it sounds like it could be cool.
Cloud Atlas, the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a bit of like Octopath Traveler, where you were resetting constantly, but they actually all feel different rather than you just grinding and doing the same thing and resetting every time.
Yes. Insane name.
I'll give that demo a go, though.
Live Alive. Some game called Little Noah Scion of Paradise that's got kind of anime stuff, and I literally don't remember it.
I don't remember that.
With a halo in the logo.
I think this is the 2D platformer kind of thing where you have a little team up that, this looked, I couldn't make heads.
Oh, heads, yeah.
Nor tails at
okay.
this.
Minecraft Legends, which is like the, I think, kind of strategy-ish Minecraft game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Summoner. Not Summoner. There was a game, Sacrifice, in 2000. I think, I can't remember who made it.
The Knox breakdown when he can't remember a game from 20 years ago.
Yeah. I don't know where
my
passport is.
His whole reputation's on the line.
Yeah.
They're coming for me.
I can see a helicopter in the distance.
Sacrifice. I definitely played Sacrifice.
And you were running around as like a bug wizard.
Yes.
And you controlled all your RTS stuff from the battlefield.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Minecraft Legends is that maybe.
Okay.
Dragon Quest Treasures looked like it could be a fun little side Dragon Quest spin-offy thing.
Yeah, has this been announced before?
I don't think it
has. I didn't recognize it.
I think maybe by title.
Okay.
I'm sure.
But yeah, I think there were some people expecting that this would get shown.
Right, okay.
I think there was a game called Dragon Quest Monsters in development at one point that nothing ever really got seen about.
There were some Dragon Quest Monsters games back on the Game Boy
back
in the day, so maybe that was a redo of those. Builders was really fun.
Yeah, I loved Builders.
Right, yes.
Great game. Their history, I don't know if it's the same development team, but the history of spin-offs of Dragon Quest had some okay things. So.
Yeah, this looked great.
This looks cool.
Love the music, love the art style. And
oh, man, hearing that theme again.
Yeah.
So good.
It was so weirdly mixed in that Nintendo Direct, though, where like the guy would go like, hey, Live Alive is coming, blah, 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 October 20 for whatever the thing was, where you could get your Halloween costume ready. He was saying the same thing you said.
Yeah.
And then the Dragon Quest music came on. Way louder than
it was so loud.
And stayed
as well. It should.
Really, honestly, feel deliberate. Like someone's like, we've got to put the volume in order of priority.
Yeah. Yes.
And he was just fucking screaming over the top of this Dragon Quest music.
Sorry to interrupt this great theme music.
Yeah.
But do you want to hear some details about the game?
It's like the bloody sound mixing in Tenet. You can't hear the dialogue. Dragon it's all loud music.
Dragon Quest is back, but this time with treasures?
Yes.
Just a question mark at
da,
the end.
Da, 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 da,
so fucking loud. And then the Portal Companion thing. Portal 1 and 2 on the Switch, which you've been playing, Thomas.
I started playing it. That was a... Yeah, I mean, the big announcement, but that had been announced already, but it was a... and it's out later today.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, you know, given that we were watching this at 11 p.m, yeah, I was like, four, you get...
Portal is coming to Nintendo Switch and it's out 15 years ago.
Well, I mean, saying later today, yeah, and by this point in the presentation, it's 11:15. I'm like, chop, chop, boys. You got about 45 minutes to get this thing
and
up
was
before
it?
We're the next day.
Did it make it in under the...
No, I went to bed. I just went, by the time I get up...
No, they didn't do it because I went to bed,
yeah. That did not answer the question.
I didn't check. Okay. You know, just, okay, yeah, went to sleep, got up the next day, downloaded it, had a bit of a play last night.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying Portal.
Hey, they're great old games.
Portal's a good-ass game. Portal 2, even better, probably.
Yeah, I love to, yeah.
All right.
If you've never played them, they're way cheaper on the PC.
Yeah.
But also,
if you've never played them, you're not a real gamer.
Phew!
Yeah. That'll rise up, Tommy.
Harvestella is something that a lot of people seem to be looking forward to, where it's another sort of farming life simulation RPG,
yes,
they call
that's
it.
It's the thing people have been saying about this Direct. Great if you love JRPGs and great if you love farming sims.
Right.
Right.
Harvestella is Bayonetta's sister, who is a farmer.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
They just got similar sounding names.
Yeah.
November 4th, probably not going to be my jam, but hey. If it's your marmalade, go for it. And then the Persona games are coming out on the Switch. Those same ones, 3 Portable, 4 Golden, and 5 Royale.
Yep.
They're all coming to the Switch at the same dates too, which is great. Those
games are they the same dates?
I believe so.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, right.
I reckon it was the same, yeah.
Because in the presentation they dated 5 Royal and then the other two they said coming soon.
I think that's what they've said about the other ones for 2023
by coming soon,
as well.
They mean, the same date.
I assume that's what they mean by the early 2023 thing they've been talking about.
Right.
That's true that I don't know if they specifically said that, but you'd have to imagine.
Yeah.
You simply would have to. You've got
I did.
No option but to imagine.
I did.
Those games are good, and I'm sure they would run fine on a Switch.
Yeah, that'd be a great way to play them. They're definitely announced for Xbox slash Game Pass.
They're all on Game Pass
and PlayStation. Yeah,
I guess they're all already on.
I don't think 4 and 3 are.
Not for PS5. I guess you can play it on a Vita or on a PSP.
Or
so
a
they're
PC.
All on PlayStation right now.
They are on PC, I think.
Just on Steam and stuff too.
Yeah.
But that's great. Those Persona games are awesome, and put them in as many places as you can.
Yeah,
it's nuts that it's taken 5. This feels like a thing where for like 4 years, every Direct people were like, Persona 5. Mm. And then there was a point where they were like teasing a Persona thing for Switch, and it ended up being Strikers, which is kind of the sequel. And it's like, well, why is this why is this on there? And it's like more technically demanding.
It's crazy.
And the original one isn't. I mean, 3 years ago, I would have loved this because I hadn't finished Persona 5 yet. I was doing a lot of travel, had a lot of long-haul flights. It's like the perfect thing to sink into this hour, like 100-hour thing. Now I've played it and finished it.
Yeah.
A bit too soon to go back in. But it's just a thing that should have been on the Switch from almost day one. But
I agree, because it was a PS3 game. So like it could run on equivalent hardware. So really bizarre the decisions that some people make.
And also
walking around with meat in your pockets all day.
They didn't release 4 Golden on anything until a year or two
ago. That came out on PC,
And that was a big deal. It was like, hey, it's finally on Steam. It was like, why is
no
Atlas
one got
a
Vita.
Weird company?
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, it's about time.
The one thing that wasn't...
Enough is enough.
In, I guess there was no Nintendo stuff, but also this week, just coinciding with this, there were very strong and rumors that I reckon about Metroid Prime getting a pretty extensive remake master... That's coming this year and will be their big holiday thing.
Okay.
And then 2 and 3 coming as well, maybe not at the same time and definitely not with as much work done to them.
Right.
But.
Right.
So 1, 2, and 3 probably coming to Switch. Big job done on 1, little job done on 2 and 3.
All right.
That's very weird. I had seen that it was like people had assumed they'd be a pack. of three.
They'll be separate, apparently, fucking is... I guess that's why I believe it, because it's Nintendo going like...
We'll get some more money.
Yeah. This 20-year-old game, it costs as much as a game from the future.
And like rolling that out, you would hope that that's being rolled out at the same time as like... Or the announcement of that is parallel to like, and here is an actual look at 4. Like, that has to be part of, like, it's been a while since a new one of them has come out, so it's like, here's us kind of reinvigorating interest in this and also introducing it because enough time has gone by where there'll be people who play games now that never, you know, never played those.
I never played the Metroid Primes.
They're very good, and, like, one, if you're going to put a lot of work into any of them, one is the best one.
Okay.
So, and then 2 and 3 are fun. I'm interested to see, because 3 was on the Wii, I'm interested to see how they change the controls back to a controller. It's likely that 1 will have revamped controls for, and that 2 and 3 won't. So it might be a really weird group of things, but, maybe they even go, maybe 2 and 3 are separate because they're like, guess what? There's GameCube and Wii games now on the expansion pass.
Oh, yeah, right. In the same way that, like, you now don't have access to... Mario Sunshine and Mario Galaxy unless you bought, you know, you can't buy that pack. Mario 3D pack.
Yeah.
And they never did, you know, they didn't put Galaxy 2 on that pack. Like, you know, if that stuff is all coming out. It could also be when they brought out...
64 was in that and now is on the expansion pass thing. So they're totally into...
When Bayonetta 2 came out, you could, I think if you bought it physically, you could, it came with a little code to get one.
Yes, that's right.
Digitally, it was like a double pack kind of thing.
You couldn't buy one digitally for a bit too, but now one is available digitally. Right. Maybe that was on the Wii U that you couldn't get. But whatever it is, those Metroid games will probably show up. At least the first one, I would imagine not a full remake, but like that seems likely. And those games are great. And they are old enough now and were... on the GameCube and I guess the Wii as well. So they were, a lot of people had a Wii. But they're worth playing if they come back.
I didn't play 3 on the Wii because I had not played the previous ones.
There was that trilogy one that came out on the Wii too, which is called the Wii U and something. The Wii as well that had all 3 remade with Wii controls. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, right. And how long ago did we see that logo for 4? Was that...
Man, that 20, was...
That was the first...
18? 2019?
2017.
Yeah.
What?
It was before the Switch came out, or maybe it was the first one after the Switch
It was the first one after, because it was... Yeah. I have a very vivid memory of watching this in Ho Chi Minh.
Ah.
And because it was when they showed off all of, like, basically what Mario Odyssey was.
Right,
because
they'd
shown it in the initial reveals of just Mario walking around the city. But in terms of what you're actually doing in this game, that was the one where it was like, had that sick trailer of like, hey, you're throwing your cap and you're capturing people. It was like, And they announced a Yoshi. They showed the logo. Right. They just went, here's fucking, we're doing it. We're just doing everything with every franchise we've got up our sleeves.
I think that was the direct where, because when Breath of the Wild came out and the Switch launched, I was like, I've figured it out. I've pulled one over on Nintendo here. I'll buy a secondhand Wii U. Get to play all those old Wii U games and get Breath of the Wild. I've fucking won. Mm. Fuck you, Nintendo. You can't trick me. And then that direct came out. I was like, whoops. I need to buy a Switch.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, that was like a... Yeah. Oop. They had it all up their sleeve.
That's my doorbell. I'm going to quickly answer that.
Okay.
Can we keep going?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's keep it rolling, baby. Yeah. Well... something that they did show off very briefly in the Out Now section of this direct.
Yeah, no, keep going.
Was Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hopes.
Yes.
Out Now.
Speaking of 3 Hopes, I hope no one steals that package while we finish off the...
Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hopes. I've been playing it. I'm nearly 10 hours in.
Why did they show this in this presentation?
They always do this. It was just chucking a little reminder.
We'd already got hyped up for it and it was released.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you can still get Portal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, the difficulty with finding the actual video, the stream, as I thought it was, the very beginning of it being this like Monster Hunter Sunbreak trailer that was the same as like what was in the Capcom presentation.
Yes.
I was like, I've clicked the wrong fucking video. This is just like a prank one that someone's uploaded. I'm like, it's on the Nintendo account. Like, what? Why are they just showing this long trailer for something that's out tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, how? So 10 hours.
I'm about 10 hours in, and right. I am loving it.
Damn.
It's so much fun. I really feel quite spoiled by the... who's the company that makes the... this? How do you pronounce this? Musou.
Oh, yeah. That company, that is Musou.
Musou, you were saying it right. The Warriors
the Dynasty Warriors and other Warriors.
Koei Tecmo?
Yeah, I guess it's them.
Koei Tecmo.
Yeah.
Koei?
Them just in the last 5 years...
I know, mine have I.
them in the last few years making these weird kind of like prequels, licensed sequels, like parallel storylines to three games that I not only love, but that are in my top games of all time, being Breath of the Wild, Persona 5, and now Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem, yeah.
It, like, if you're not going to get a direct sequel, or if a direct sequel is going to be something completely different or a prequel or whatever it is, I love this formula of, like, you take a bit away from this game that you love, you come back in, it's the same characters, it's the same, like, all the menus feel the same, it's got a lot of the same kind of mechanical bullshit outside of the combat within the game.
It reminds me of like those like direct-to-video Lion King 2, Aladdin 2 right. type of
thing. Yeah.
Where it's like, well, it's not really a sequel, but it kind of is.
I mean, they feel more authentic than that though.
Sure.
It's we couldn't get Robin Williams, so Homer's doing the voice of the genie in this one.
But yeah, taking a specific... like leap from whatever that game's actual combat was to the Warriors ones, which are well done.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, well, I get all of the you know, the aesthetics, the trapping, the writing even, it seems like.
Yeah, totally. And I think they get like the whatever the studio was that was in charge of the actual license to do all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because I guess the Breath of the Wild one was, it didn't, other than the environments and the characters and stuff and the story, it didn't have the, you know, what was great about Breath of the Wild was the open worldness, and it didn't have that. But then, the Persona 5 Strikers, had all the Persona stuff. You're walking around the city, you're doing your relationships, you're doing
long
all that kind of stuff.
Long fucking cutscene-y stuff in between as well.
And even level design was very similar and just as good, honestly.
The dungeons like all being the same.
Yeah.
It's sort of like with the Telltale thing when they were pumping out a lot more licensed things, where part of it relies on them picking the right thing to do it to.
Yes.
They've done Fire Emblem and they've done Zelda before with the Fire Emblem Warriors and Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
And neither of them, I don't think, were quite as well received as these recent batch have been.
Partly because they
did those wrong, but they're picking the right things.
They were being very generic with those other ones. They were just like, here's everything from Zelda and we'll kind of make our own story within it. And then this is like their... I mean, I loved Fire Emblem Three Houses, and so firing this up and it's like... just the small thing of like the sounds in the menus and just like the overall, it's like, oh, I'm back in this world. It's a, so it's a parallel storyline to what happens in Three Houses. So, you know, you should play Three Houses, but you could play this separately. It doesn't really rely on any other knowledge. It's its own standalone story that kind of the character that you play in this is a new character, and the character that you played as in Three Houses is the villain. It's the bad guy. So it's like a divergent kind of story sort of thing.
Like a what if.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. And yeah, it's got, again, there's just, I kind of really thought, like naively, given, you know, what they did with the Persona one, that it was just going to be, oh, it's just like the, you're just running around doing the battles as the Fire Emblem characters.
Right.
But it's got all the bullshit from Three Houses. It's got all the like...
you're having tea with people.
You're having tea. You're building up your relationships that are helping you in battle. It is the same game, except it's real time and it's not turn-based. It doesn't have that, like, which I love. It's such a testament to how well they do these things that even though I loved the way those three games, the originals, worked mechanically, I don't feel like I'm playing an inferior version and I'm not going like, oh, I wish this had... like, I'm still just as into it as I was the tactical turn-based style of the original game.
That's awesome.
Writing's great, story's great. It's like a super complete thing that doesn't feel like a spin-off. It just feels like a great, like, you're dipping your toe back into this world.
I wish I could play it because I'd never finished Three Houses.
Yeah.
I would feel like, and you've got to finish Three Houses, you're playing it four times, right?
No, I mean, it is cool to know that if you wanted to go through again, there is like a completely different side to the story that you could play. But it doesn't feel... No, I don't think so. It's okay. Basically just like you pick one of three houses to be in, and then there's this, yeah, this story that unfolds and you're seeing it from one side, but then you're also like, yeah, kind of hearing about what the others are doing. So you could...
Yeah, you still have the same overall storyline.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay. You just are seeing it from a different perspective, which is cool incentive to want to play it again.
Right.
And I have thought about doing another run through just because loved it so much. But
I got to play it without killing all of my students in my house and having to recruit every other.
That's right. But this this has got I love that original same thing where you can pick, because Three Houses I played with the mode where there's not permadeath.
Right.
It's kind of too scared about that. And then this one I've got, it gives you the same choice. It's like, do you want to play it in classic mode where when people die, they're gone forever? And I am doing that mode and I lost my first kid last night and it's a fucking awful feeling.
Yeah.
Like what you're doing kind of stops and you see them off on the battlefield just keeling over. And it was this like this girl, like magic person that I had, and she's like, oh, I wish I could live for a little bit longer. It's like, wow, that is intense dialogue.
Only a little bit, huh? I'd be wishing for a lot longer if I was getting killed on a battlefield. That's cool.
You certainly get used to it if they, you get through about 10 deaths.
There's like 8 per battle.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, some of the reviews I've read of this that are like not as glowing about it are reviews that are reviewing it as a new Musou game and being like, oh, it doesn't really do much to move on genre.
Right.
Which I kind of think like, I mean, it's kind of weird to me that there would be fans of the Musou game that are playing this that aren't familiar, it's like you're playing it as a Fire Emblem follow-on, not as a Musou. I mean,
weirdly similar to the Telltale stuff where at some point they started getting flagged for like, it's not changing the formula of like this adventure game thing.
Which is weird because it is massively changing the formula of Fire Emblem. So it's
And it's very different to watching Game of Thrones to play that Game of Thrones Telltale game. But
But also did like Musou have a franchise of their own?
They've got many. There's because there's Dynasty Warriors, and then there's like those Warriors Orochi ones, then there's Samurai Warriors.
Yeah.
Right. There's like, and there's a million of each.
So I assume.
And then there's three versions of each of those million.
Yeah, often. Yeah.
So.
I mean, running around a battlefield and just wiping out 200 people with one slash of your sword, it just feels awesome.
There's people who are like really into just those games.
Right.
Yeah.
So it makes kind of sense that I guess some of those people being like, this isn't as good as Dynasty Warriors.
But not for the licensed ones, surely. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nah, fuck them.
But yeah, I mean, viewed through the lens of like, this is a Fire Emblem follow-up.
Yep.
And if you enjoyed Three Houses, then I definitely think you'll enjoy this. It's like a really cool thing to take a property and just do, change up one mechanic of it. And then, the whole like alternate storyline thing is really cool.
And they pull it off better than you would imagine when you hear like this company who makes these pretty famously not well liked by a lot of people games.
Right.
The fact that they are pulling off all the side stuff, all the extra bits, all of that stuff is just like surprising every time it happens, even though they've done it several times now.
Yeah, I was not convinced until I actually played Persona 5 Strikers, and then I was like, oh, this is as good as Persona 5. Like, I love it. I haven't finished it. I put in like 20 hours or something. It's like, it's still quite a long game, but yeah, I did have to play one to realize, no, it's the quality level is quite high.
Yeah. It's a real testament to like I said, you're like me, loved the combat in Persona 5, but you don't feel it lacking from, there's no points where you're like, oh, I wish, because they do enough of like putting all the other stuff in and just the mechanics that are theirs, like that Musou thing. It feels fucking great to play.
It's like, this is maybe an unfair comparison, but like those Warriors, I've tried to play Dynasty Warriors and stuff and they always just feel not great to me and I don't love them, but they've got their fans.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like King of Queens or like a show like that.
Some
people are really into it and you're like, why?
Yeah.
And then you hear, well, Kevin James is now making Godfather 4.
Right.
And you're like, that's crazy. And then he does it and you're like, fucking he did it.
Wow.
He pulled this off and it's different. It's got a lot more jokes, but... It's pretty good.
I've
never had an interest in these games. And then, like I said, in the last few years, they've made three that have been weird follow-ons to some of my favorite games. And so now I love this formula. Mm. Have absolutely no desire to check in with the Dynasty Warriors and the actual, like, the, you know, the standalone,
the mainline,
mainline ones. Yeah. But yeah, I love this. I'd love to see them do. I keep thinking about, like, especially since Nintendo seemed to be pretty open to just saying to them, like, yeah, fucking come on in and do what you want. Do a Mario one. Do a fucking, you know,
Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Kill them all.
Yeah.
Don't call it that. speaking of genres that get a huge amount of releases, not all of which are very good very often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The puzzle platformer has a lot of 8-bit puzzle platformer. Who gives a shit games?
Yep.
Sure. I mean, they're easy to make technically, right? Like,
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, they're easy to make. Any
programming wise, I suppose,
but they're hard to perfect.
Yeah, design wise, not something people get wrong, get right very much.
That's ironically,
funny word to get wrong.
Yeah,
but Leckhead is very good.
Bad name.
Bad
name to say in English, I guess, because I think it's a Japanese designer.
What about that?
Elechid. Yeah.
Electric head.
Yeah.
Mm. There you go.
That's better.
It's a very. It is one of the good pixel art 2D platformer puzzle games.
Yes,
I'm really enjoying it. It's quite short, and I've not finished it yet. But I'm. You zap through it.
I really zapped through it. I've got a problem though. That I don't know. I haven't seen credits.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure I've played every level that there is, or every bit.
Okay.
And I don't know what it takes to finish the game.
There's those little thing, the little chips around, the like 20 little chips that you got to go get.
And is that like specified anywhere?
It's very, it's pretty wordless. Like it does.
It is completely wordless. To tell you what it is. So it's a puzzle 2D pixel art platformer thing. And you play this little robot android thing. You see all the lights shut down in a city right at the start.
Mm.
And you play as this little android who's got a battery for a head. And you're running around doing little puzzles.
Yep.
Because whenever you touch a surface, everything connected to that surface will power up. So if there's an elevator attached to that sort of grid, then that elevator will start moving. If there's a cannon attached to that grid, it'll start shooting. Things like that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you have to platform your way in a way around each of these kind of screens. And it's got the thing of like, just a distinct screen that stays static and then you move on to the next one, static electricity. And then...
like a Metroid?
Like this game reminds me a lot of that.
Celeste?
That sort of Super Meat Boy. But then, and sometimes the screens do interact with one another for some puzzles later on.
Yes.
But you're sort of increasing the complexity of stuff you can do. The first one, so I won't, not to give away quite a short game, but very quickly, you get the ability to throw your head.
Yep.
And that becomes a key mechanic in how to do stuff where you the bottom half of your body can still run around. The charged top battery part of your head will charge whatever surface it's landed on.
Yeah.
And then you've got about 10 seconds to run as these little pair of legs through the level if you need to, or do whatever you've got to get done while the battery part is gone. So those legs are not powered.
Yes.
And you're trying to figure out in this level, which bits do I need to power at which time? Where do I need to be so that I can jump over this jump but not power the trap in the middle?
Right.
And it's really creative and well-designed and
so
very
smart.
Fun.
Yeah.
Completely wordless. You like even the pause menu doesn't tell you what options are which.
Yeah.
And that's kind of fucking annoying. But
when I paused it, I was like, oh, there's no pause menu. It's just a bunch of symbols on the screen.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that's like volume and
fucking speaker.
And so then you go into the little portal one and that will show you where the chips are that you've missed.
Yeah, but I thought they were just like optional collectibles.
I assume, and I haven't finished it yet, I assume to get the ending, you probably need that. Or also maybe you need to go charge that city. I don't know how you finish it, 'cause I've not done that yet.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not clear.
But so nothing's really clear because you're going into these rooms and sometimes you can stand on a platform and it'll light up a screen that will give you a button input.
Yeah.
It's like a new control thing. Sometimes that screen will just show a fucking pile of shit.
Yeah.
And be like, go, come back later, I guess.
Yeah,
fuck you.
No, it'll go. Beep, 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 beep.
Mm. Yeah. The sound effects are pretty sparse and a little annoying, honestly. For whatever reason, I found them. They're just little.
They're
pretty
very
inoffensive.
Chip-tuny, classic
beeps and bloops.
I love them, and I love the music as well.
The music is good.
Yeah. And I love the visuals.
Yeah.
I love everything about this game,
it's
honestly.
It's real lost. You know, you talked about neon white feeling like a lost Dreamcast game.
Sure.
This is like lost Game Boy game.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. It's
Game Boy
like,
Color and its aesthetic.
Yeah.
You get like three little color palettes to choose from in the menu as well. So you can have it be purple and yellow is the default, and then there's like a green and pink or whatever.
There's more around to find as well.
I bet you can.
Mm.
Red, white, and blue. That's how I want to play this game.
No, it's Francis not actually. No, no.
And so you... yeah, the visuals are very simple, kind of sparse, almost hollow-looking pixel art, but it really works.
Yeah.
It controls really snappily. Every puzzle is clever and well-designed and fun, and there's so many of them as I'm going through where I'm like, oh, getting that good puzzle solve feeling.
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Running around a room like five times and being like, oh, you got to, yeah.
How do I get past that wall? This is broken.
Yeah. Bunch of secrets as well, apparently. Like it's a really, there's a lot of stuff to collect and a lot of little secret rooms and passages to find.
Totally. Already even early on, there's just like false floors and all that sort of stuff that I'm zipping through and finding things that clearly I need to come back to later with something else and whatever. Not long. I looked it up as well, and it's like 2 hours long or something to play through the main thing. So I've not played much of it at all, and then like four something to get everything.
Right.
But it's only like $15 on the Switch, and it's been on PC for a year now or something.
Yes, it has.
And so it will probably go on sale there. And it's really fun. If you like that kind of like VVVVVVVV type of like puzzly platformer.
And I think
that was a kiss noise, by the way. That wasn't me like doing a sucking noise to show you that it sucks.
Yeah, he sucked. I think this is this person's first game.
Oh wow!
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they did everything in it.
Got the
memory. Yeah. Which I would love it if it was a bit longer because 2 hours is not very long.
Yep.
But I'm sure they're going to go on and make more games and have probably more funding for it.
Yeah, to a lot of people too. That's probably a plus, like for people that don't, you know, their lives are like they don't have the time to sink into a 100-hour thing. It's like it's kind of a, you know, you could treat it like an inside where you could sit down and blow through it all in one sitting would be very satisfying.
I really wanted to do that and wish I'd have had more time to do it because I want to just go and finish it off this afternoon. Basically.
Yeah.
I played it, as much of it yesterday as I could before getting to like what a dead end and then kept picking it up being like, well, did I miss something?
Yeah, I'm banging my head against a wall. There's like a bit that's like high up and I can't work out how to get up there.
You got to throw your head.
It won't get up that far. Mm. Well, I throw my head, but then it's stuck up there.
Oh, and that's the kind of puzzles you'll have to take on in Electric Head.
Head in the clouds.
Fun game.
Fun game.
I really enjoyed it. And I don't always get into those like platformer heavy puzzle platformers. Like I did not finish Celeste. It just got too hard. But this, it's more puzzle than platformer.
It's not like reflex, twitchy, like a Celeste or a Super Meat.
Not for the most part. You'll have to do some like accurate jumps or whatever. Little bit, not
that like crazy. Yeah. Not that you're going to die again and again and again and again and again to,
It's more down. Once you figure it out, the platforming is pretty easy. It's
exactly
more the figuring out the logic of that screen.
Right, exactly. Usually if you're like finding something physically difficult to do, it means you're doing it the wrong way.
Yes.
I like it. Weirdly for us, a lot of Switch Nintendo talk this week. Not common.
No.
Well, we got that that goddamn cat game is coming out soon.
Oh, yeah.
That's in like a couple of weeks.
Sick.
Looking forward
to that. Stray. There's a bunch of stuff I want to play soon. And I want to see everybody.
Everyone.
At that live show. I think that's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. I'd love to see several thousand people. On the streaming.
I'd be so scared to see several thousand people in the room, though. It's not big enough for that.
It's not.
But you can stream.
Yeah.
But if, you know, the people, that's not our job. The people running the venue that seats about like 100, if they manage to get several thousand in there, I'd be like, you know what? I've got to give it up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have to deal with the logistics of that. But hey, you pulled it off.
If they can all walk away from this, then this is fine.
I'd feel pressured to like play a music set, you know? Like it would be like U2 or something. Oh, shit, we got to do a concert now, I guess.
If it, 1,000 people here, I'm going to do the thing I don't do regularly in front of.
Time to try new gear.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, that is going to do us for another installment of Filthy Casuals.
Wow.
Thank you very much for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our YouTube stuff that we've got.
Oh,
heaps
yes.
of great videos on there. Lots of fun. Yeah, get on the Patreon. Giant July kicking off. Heaps of bonus stuff coming down the pipe. But hey, if you get on right now, the bare minimum, you got your backlog of bonus episodes. So
Band
many
camps
of them.
And
get
all,
into it.
Heaps of shit.
Yes. Comedyrepublic.com.au for tickets to the show on Saturday. Looking forward to seeing you guys there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. But until then, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Ba ba da ba 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 ba
ba ba da ba ba da da
da ba. Filthy Casuals treasure.
Ba ba ba.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.